So in this season, we light these candles, and we light them remembering the deepest longings of our hearts, right? Deepest longings that we have, hope, peace, love, and joy. And we light them also, we light them also as a chance to pause for a second and remember in gratitude that Jesus has come to fulfill these our deepest longings. He's come. Jesus comes into this world to bring us hope and peace, love, and joy. And so tonight we light our candles and we remember as we light the candle of joy tonight. Our scripture reading for this week is God's message to the shepherds, where the angels they break into the shepherds' world to give them this good news of great joy. And so we're reading this passage from the Gospel of Luke, from chapter 2. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Someone lent me a book a couple weeks ago called The Road Less Traveled by Scott Peck. And seeing as it's Advent, I haven't been able to read much at all of the book at all yet. But the first sentence of the book begins with the statement, "Life is difficult," it says. That's the first sentence. And this is, of course, true. And then in a sequel to that book, I heard that he begins this book by saying, "Life is complex." Both are true, of course. Life is both difficult and complex. But in this season of Advent, we're remembering that there's something more coming. Even through all the difficulty, there is a hope, a love, a joy. We're remembering one of the most essential, important pieces of our faith, that we don't worship a far-off God, unaware of our life on earth, but a God who has come down into our world in Jesus. The Word has become flesh and dwells among us. And so life doesn't have to remain only difficult, only complex, but it is interwoven with the deeper God-given gifts through Jesus, amazing gifts. Good news of great joy. This is what the message is for the shepherds in their fields as they're keeping watch over their flock by night. We love the shepherds, I think, because it seems like us. They could be any one of us. The everyday person, the not the terribly important person, but one in the middle of life, a working in the fields kind of people. And it's to these people like us in the middle of our lives that God breaks in. The angels come to announce the Messiah's birth. See, See, I am bringing you good tidings of great joy, they say. The Messiah is born quietly on the edges of town. The gift of good news and great joy for us is born. And without fanfare, they wrapped him up and they laid him in a manger. But then as our scripture shows us, then a great awe-inspiring thing develops before the eyes of these wandering shepherds in the field. A great attention-getting display comes for them to make sure that they know this one who has come. So the angels, they announce, see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all people. See, they say, look. It's like the angels say, see, there is for you good news of great joy. It can be hard for us to see sometimes. There were two psychologists who met at Harvard in the 90s, and they developed this experiment that shows how limited our perception and our attention can be when it comes to what is going on around us. And in the experiment, you're asked to watch this video of people in white shirts and people in black shirts passing basketballs to each other. And you're instructed to watch the video and count how many times the people in the white shirts pass the ball. And it's hard to catch it all, but if you're careful, you can come up with the right number. There's 15 passes. But then it's kind of funny. The video narrator gets to the point of the study then, and he asks, but then you got the right number of passes, but did you notice the gorilla? The narrator asks, did you notice the gorilla? And I've done this before, and I did not see a gorilla. But there is a gorilla in the video. But something like 50% of viewers of the video are kind of left scratching their heads, thinking, what gorilla? But there is. And when the video is replayed, it kind of replay it slowly, and you, the viewer, who are now looking for a gorilla instead of people in white shirts, you can't help but see somebody walk on the screen in a gorilla costume and walk directly through the group, and he even stops and beats on his chest for a little bit, and then he walks off. Then you can see. It can be hard, though, for us to see sometimes. In the middle of everything else that's going on in life, that there might be for us good news, that there could be joy in the middle of the everyday and the busyness and the chaos, when life is difficult and complex, we don't always see it right away. And really, the problem isn't always with the world. The problem isn't necessarily with the way things are in life, but with the way that we're seeing things. And so we have this invitation to train our eyes, to watch, to look, to as the angels say, see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy. If we dare to listen to the angels' invitation, it is for us all around to see there is a joy that's come for us in the gift of Jesus. With this joy that we are talking about, we are really not talking about being kind of ceaselessly happy or being all bubbly. Joy is something else, something deeper. It's something that stems out of the knowledge of the gift of Christ for us. Worldly happiness, it seems, is really dependent on how things are going in our life. If we've got what we need, if we've got friends and family, we might be happy. Joy, though, Christian joy is not based on any of our circumstances, but in Christ alone. The Apostle Paul wrote one of his most joyful letters when he was in prison. It's not one of the happiest places, but he repeats in this letter again and again. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord." From prison, he is urging those who are outside of prison to rejoice in the Lord. He has found this something deeper. Christian joy, it comes not from us, but from the giver of joy, from the gift of new life and salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. That there might be good news for us in Christ, that he has come to dwell among us and within us, whatever our circumstances. This is a cause for joy. The gift of Christ is given for all people. It's given for all people, that the angels came to bring this news to the shepherds first. This is a signal that this good news is for all people. If it's for them, it's for all people. But it's not only that it's for all people. It's more than just the widespread, universal nature of God's love for all the world here. There's something that's also really personal and intimate for us about Jesus coming. And you can see this in the scripture. The angels say, "See, I bring you good tidings of great joy." It's to you, the angels say. "For unto you is born this day a Savior." The gift of Christ is for us, each and every you out there. Nick Clooney was telling a story on the radio. And he shared that he had received a Christmas card from someone at his radio station, but they had forgotten to sign it at the end. And after he was off the air, he searched for that person. He searched him out, and then he found him, and he gave him a hard time. Gave this guy a hard time about sending a card, but forgetting to sign it. But the man's response surprised him, because he said, "Well, I meant to do that. I didn't sign any of the cards," he said. "I wanted to send season's greetings," he said, but I really didn't want to get too involved." How lazy. Didn't want to get too involved. The gift we have in Jesus is that God cared deeply enough for us to get involved, personally, intimately involved. The God we worship comes to us not just in general or theoretically, but he came himself specifically, personally, in Jesus. He went to great lengths to come into this world and into our very hearts to us personally. This gift is given. Some 400 years or so ago, Martin Luther wrote some words reflecting on this message of Christmas. And he asked the question, he said, "Of what benefit would it be to me if Jesus would have been born 1,000 times and it would have been sung daily in my ears that Jesus was Christ was born, but that I was never to hear that Jesus Christ was born for me? Of what benefit would it be if I had not heard that Jesus Christ was born for me?" he says. That there is a God, one who cares deeply enough to come and love so completely and sacrificially for you and each and every one of us. There is cause for joy to well up inside of us, to come and to spill out and overflow out of us. When the shepherds, when they heard the news, they went to see it for themselves, and that's just what happened for them. They went to see, and they couldn't help but let it spill out of them after they saw this joy, this good news. They couldn't help but let it spill out. And they went and they shared all that had been told to them. And then they returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. It was spilling out of them from inside. Charles Spurgeon said that there is a marvelous medicinal power in joy. Most medicines, he says, are just distasteful. But this, which is the best of all medicines, is sweet to the taste and comforting to the heart. This blessed joy is very contagious. One dreary spirit, he says, brings a kind of plague into the house. One person who is wretched seems to stop birds from singing wherever he goes. But he says the grace of joy is contagious. Holy joy will oil the wheels of your life's machinery. Holy joy will strengthen you for your daily labor. Holy joy will beautify you and give you an influence over the lives of others, he says. This is true. Joy, joy of the Lord is contagious, and it's a gift. It's a gift that is meant for the world that needs it, this world that's longing for the deeper joy that only Christ can bring. So a lot of churches and people, a lot of churches put up a nativity scene for this season. And I read that, oddly, it seems to be a pattern that churches have their baby Jesus taken away from the manger during this time. Most likely as kind of some sort of prank. Someone makes off with it. Not a big, huge deal. No prison time for that kind of thing. But it puts churches in the position of deciding what to do. Do they continue to put Jesus out year after year only to have him taken? Or do they install cameras or a security team? Or what do they do? There was a church in Missouri that dealt with this for years. And rather than devise some way to keep Jesus in the manger, they came up with another idea. And they explain it this way. They said, "We didn't want to be found nailing Jesus down or trying to tying him to an anchor or putting him on some kind of chain. We wanted to find a way to display on our lawn this thing that symbolized the meaning of the season, that Christmas is really about giving," they said. And so what they decided to do was they still put out their same nativity display, and all the characters, all the figures were there, but in the manger, instead of the normal baby Jesus, there was a pile of hundreds and hundreds of ornaments depicting the baby Jesus, and a large sign they put out that says, "Free, take one." And so rather than trying to keep Christ in the manger, they were giving him away by the hundreds, giving him away. Joy is meant to be shared. The gift of Christ for us is given to be shared and spread and freely given so that all may know the good news, the great joy that has come in Christ our Lord. My hope and prayer is that we too, like the angels who sang it, like the shepherds, we will see the gift of Christ for who he is for us, that we will be filled with such joy that we can't contain it, that we, like the angels and like the shepherds, would go and leave this place anxious to share the gift of joy found in Christ Jesus with our family, with friends, with neighbors, with everyone we meet. Amen.